Well, greetings, everybody. With Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. Is there something on your mind, a question you'd like to pose? Give us a call at 844-322-2742. That, of course, good in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, and I hope everyone had a wonderful celebration of our Independence Day yesterday.
Well, it was nice to have a day off and enjoy family and friends and to just enjoy the freedom that we have as American citizens. But as I always say, it's just a reminder of the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus. And our verse for the day comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And this is such a powerful chapter, one of those signature chapters that if you really get a hold of the message within these few sentences, it really just transforms your relationship with Christ. It really puts it on a new level. Why? Because it's really taking you from the old to the new. But the end of it is this, and it's verse 17, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So what is God's desire for every human being? It is freedom. It is freedom from the law of sin and death. It is release from the law. It's being dead to sin so that we can walk in the newness of life in Christ Jesus. So that is God's desire for you, to be free, to experience that freedom to the full. Now, sadly, there are way too many believers out there who are putting the yoke of bondage back on. Instead of moving forward in their freedom in Christ, they are grabbing hold of the law, they're grabbing hold of new Christian rules and regulations, and they are trying to abide by those by human effort. So they're not taking a step forward into the freedom, they're taking a step back into the jail cell that once held them. So we have this great privilege to live as free men and to live as free women and to really allow the Spirit of God to live His life through us. And it's a powerful truth. And guys, I just wish more and more people could really grab hold of what Paul is saying in this important chapter.
Yeah, you know, we enjoy our freedom, as you said, Bob, here in the United States, but the Bible is declaring that we have this freedom from law-based religion, freedom from the power of sin, freedom from that guilt that was keeping us down for so long, and even freedom from who we once were. So you really see four kinds of freedom that Jesus gives us through the cross, and you know, I think each one of those is pretty important to our everyday living. I mean, we cannot live under a thou shalt system. We cannot live under rules. We're designed to let Christ rule. And there's a big difference there. It's personal, not principles. Secondly, the freedom from the power of sin. I mean, you know, we need to know that when sin comes at us, it's all bark and no bite, and that we don't have to give in to the power of sin, that we have made a spiritual break from the power of sin, so that even though it's loud and persistent, it doesn't mean that it has power over us. You know, I often judge a thought by its volume. That's what I'm tempted to do. Well, if it's really loud, and then if it's really persistent, then it must be me. Well, the Bible is telling us something different, that no matter how loud and no matter how persistent that message, that sinful message is, it doesn't mean it's coming from us, from our heart, from our spirit, from who we are. So we have a freedom from the power of sin now, and we just need to recognize it. We need to recognize that we are not sin and that sin is not us. And so when that message comes down the pipeline of our mind, we can say no to it and say yes to who we really are. So freedom from the law, freedom from the power of sin, freedom from guilt when we think about our total forgiveness in Jesus, that guilt and shame don't have to define us, that we have a new identity, that we are not the sum total of our past. And then lastly, freedom from who we were. I mean, many don't realize it, but when we come to Christ, we get a new spiritual past. I mean, we are crucified, buried, raised to newness of life, So we get a freedom from who we once were. You know, Romans 6 says, though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart. So we got an identity change and freedom from our past. Guys, this sort of freedom, you know, on a day like we just had, to be able to remember this freedom and celebrate this freedom, that's what the Christian life is all about.
Yeah, and this is a freedom that is true of every believer, no matter where they are. I mean, there are believers in North Korea, and certainly they don't enjoy the freedoms that we as American citizens do. But they enjoy the same freedom that all believers in Christ have. And that is such an important truth for us to understand. And that's our shared, that's really our shared freedom. Everything else, as far as freedoms in this world, is simply a derivative of what we have in Christ Jesus. It's a shadow of the real thing that we enjoy. And boy, if there's one thing that I want believers to know more than anything, is this freedom that they have in Christ Jesus. And you talked about freedom from, you know, the punishment of sin, freedom from the power of sin. There's going to be a day in the future when we receive resurrected bodies that there's going to be a total freedom from the presence of sin. Yeah. And boy, that's our hope. That's our longing in Christ Jesus. And it's all because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And it's a reality for us because the Spirit of Christ himself lives in us. And where the Spirit is, there is freedom.
There is freedom, absolutely.
Good news, folks.
It is good news from Basic Gospel, as always. Glad you're with us, friends. If you want to join the broadcast, join the conversation, 844-322-2742 is the number to call, both in the U.S. and in Canada. 844-322-2742. You know, God's plan from the beginning has been Jesus. When the law was introduced, it didn't change that plan. It simply helped to point the way by showing us our need for him. But once the purpose was fulfilled, he called the covenant new and has made the first obsolete. And whatever is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to disappear, according to Hebrews 8:13. Well, helping people to understand this critical difference between law and grace is the most liberating work God does in the lives of people through Basic Gospel. Friends, help us continue to proclaim this message of freedom. Your gift today will set a struggling, frustrated believer free and equip them to walk in dependence on Jesus. Your gifts do make a difference. Bob, we have a wonderful new resource. Tell our listeners a little bit about it.
Well, it's a five CD set, or five messages, called Law and Grace, and Richard and I just really take a deep dive into what the Word of God has to say about this important subject. And it's a subject that, you know, on the surface sounds theological, but when you really dive into it, it's the most practical. It asks that question, asks and answers that question, how then should we live as believers? And this really is the truth that sets us free. There are so many frustrated believers out there, and the reason they're frustrated is because they're going about the Christian life the wrong way. They're trying to do it through human effort. They're trying to do it through works of the law instead of walking down that path called the way of grace. We enter into this Christian life by grace through faith in Jesus. We live this Christian life in exactly the same way, by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. So once somebody really understands that, they start seeing growth in their Christian life in ways that they never dreamed possible. So this is a very, very important topic. We want to put this valuable resource into your hands. You listen through it. I guarantee you it will change and answer so many questions that you've had in your own Christian experience.
Yeah, and it, of course, it's our response to you for your continued support for Basic Gospel. You can donate online at basicgospel.net, by phone at 844-322-2742 with the Basic Gospel app, or through PayPal. And thank you for your love of the message of God's unconditional love and grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, again, 844-322-2742, that number is available right now. We'd love to hear from you and have you be a part of this broadcast. In the meantime, a call that came in off hours from Dan. Let's listen to that.
Hey, Bob. My name's Dan, and I have a question for you. A young man made a statement that struck me as wrong. The statement that he made is that anyone who is addicted to pornography is going to hell. I recognize there's not a Christian out there. No Christian man should be viewing pornography, but I also know we're not capable. You know, I in the past battled with that, battled with lots of different things. And I'm a born-again child of God, and my justification is not up for grabs. It's an issue of sanctification. To me, it's an addiction that only Christ and Christ alone can free a man from. And I just wanted to know what your thoughts on it were, and thank you.
Yeah. Well, guys, this is an important question because, you know, as Dan said, we need to get to the bottom of this because it would have major implications for every believer out there. I mean, if someone who struggles with pornography, and that's an ongoing struggle for them, is not saved, well, then that would mean that every single believer, little by little, is going to get to the place of sinless perfection or something. I mean, you know, just think about the ramifications. If struggle is a sign that you're not saved, ongoing struggle, well, then that implies that the lack of struggle is the sign that you are saved. So what would happen then is each one of us would get to the place where there's no struggle left. Well, that's not the truth. The Bible says in James chapter 3, verse 2, it says, we all stumble in many ways. So we know that stumble and struggle is part of the Christian experience, and that we're getting our minds renewed, that we're learning, that we're growing. And, you know, Dan, you're right. This process of learning and growing doesn't affect our justification. We are made right. We are made righteous. I will say, though, that when it comes to sanctification, we need to separate two different things. Are you sanctified as a person? Well, the Bible says you are. Hebrews chapter 10 says that we've been sanctified. 1 Corinthians 6 says that we, as people of God, have been sanctified. That just means set apart. That means set apart, reserved for God. Not all of our thinking, not all of our actions have been set apart, but we have been set apart. I mean, imagine it. The Lord comes back in the next 5 minutes and takes us to heaven. How glorious that is. But if you're not sanctified, if you're not set apart as a person, then you're not even heaven ready. I mean, where in the Bible does it say that you're going to need a last-minute polish, a last-minute spiritual squeegee to clean you off? Well, it's not there. And the reason is because you are acceptable to God, body and soul, and then spirit as well. But here's the catch. When you hit heaven, you get a new body. You don't get a new soul. You don't get a new spirit. You get a new body. So, guys, I think it's really important to, number one, recognize there is struggle. We do struggle in this world. James says we stumble in many ways. That is not a sign that someone's not a believer. Far from it. In fact, I would say the conflict there is a sign that, hey, if I've got the Holy Spirit living in me and I'm a new creation at the core, then I'm not going to like sin, and I'm going to struggle against sin, and I'm going to hate sin, and I'm going to wish for escape from a sinful temptation. Whereas if I'm an unbeliever, then it would just fit with me perfectly, and there'd be no struggle, and I would just think, wow, this is great. So the struggle is a sign of salvation, in fact, the sign that God's presence is within us. And then, you know, I would just say we need to, on this sanctification issue, remember, even though not all of my thoughts, not all of my attitudes, not all of my actions are sanctified or set apart, that's a process. But you and I, who we are at the core, we have been set apart. We are holy. We are sanctified as people. And when the Lord returns, we are heaven ready.
Yeah, good insights on that. And as far as porn addiction is concerned, and there's a lot of men that struggle with that, a lot of men that are trapped in that addiction. And they are wanting to be set free. They're wanting to wake up on a day and have that desire, you know, eradicated from their flesh, or, you know, that habit just completely eliminated in their lives. And here's what I say on that. I think we have to get back, and as far as believers who are trapped in this, we have to step back and ask questions about people. How does God see people? How does God view people? because when somebody's involved in a porn addiction or any type of sexual immorality, they are not seeing people as God sees them. They are seeing people as objects. They're marginalizing those folks. So their eyesight toward other people is being blurred by this fleshly desire. So we've got to step back and ask the question, how does God see that person? How does God see the people that are out there? And when you start to realize that God sent Jesus for that person, that God sent Jesus to die in that person's place, to redeem that person, to lift them out of the darkness of this world and to give them an opportunity to receive his very life, that things start to change for you. And I think this is how the grace of God begins to teach us to renounce those type of sins. It starts to lift our eyes and enable us to see people for who they really are. And that's faith working itself out in love. So if we keep trusting in God's work inside of us, he never stops. He's going to will and to do in us of his good pleasure. He's committed to conforming us to the image of Christ. Well, I think one of the ways he does that is enabling us to see people as God sees them. And that's when things start to change. If you're just trying to fight and get rid of that desire, it's going to be a very tough battle to escape. So let God lift you up above that and start teaching you how to see people as he sees them.
Dan, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you, and thanks for your question. Friends, if you have a question, we'd love to hear from you. You can drop us an email at bob@basicgospel.net, or you can call and record your question, as did Dan, at 844-322-2742.
Well, interesting question from Ambry on our Facebook page. It says, exactly when is a person forgiven for their sins? Was it at the cross or when he or she accepts Christ as Lord and Savior? And this is something that we've talked about time and time and time again through this broadcast for many, many years. You know, Christ did the work at the cross. There's nothing more to be done. So he shed his blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. We receive that forgiveness when we receive him. In yes. him we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So it's for those outside of Christ, they've never received what God provided. So only those who have received Christ receive that forgiveness. So that's how we've taught it for a long, long time. Andrew, is that how you see it?
Yeah, I think it's so important to see it that way, guys. I mean, think about the inconsistency. If we run around saying, oh, 1 John 1:9, yeah, that's an invitation to an unbeliever, which it is, and we teach that. 1 John 1:9 is an invitation to an unbeliever to get forgiveness and cleansing of all unrighteousness. So we say that out of one side of our mouths, and then we say, oh, no, that, you know, everybody was forgiven at the cross. It's already done, and everybody's already received it and all that business. We got to be careful what we're saying, because that's inconsistent. It makes no sense. Remember that the Apostle John issued an invitation to unbelievers, and they were sin deniers. They were people who were saying that they had no sin, and they were called Gnostics, and those who followed that sort of philosophy believed that sin was not real or that they had never sinned a day in their lives. So if that's true, then if they were issued an invitation by the Apostle John, then that clearly means that people needed to be forgiven and needed to be cleansed of all unrighteousness. And that also means that without admitting their sinfulness, without agreeing with God concerning their sinful state, that they could not be forgiven and not be cleansed. So, you know, it's just like in the book of Acts when God sends Paul out. He says, Paul, I'm sending you to the Gentiles, so that they can be turned from darkness to light, so that they are turned from Satan to God, so that they might receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified in me. So the forgiveness has to be received, and Paul was being sent out. So whether it's John inviting people to receive forgiveness and cleansing, or whether it's Paul being sent out to convince people that Jesus is Messiah and thereby they can receive forgiveness, it is pretty clear that forgiveness has to be received and that in him we have forgiveness. In him we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Colossians says that, Ephesians says that, and forgiveness is not found in Adam. Many people are in Adam. They're still in Adam. We're all born in Adam. We have to be taken out of Adam and placed in Christ, and that's where we get redemption and the forgiveness of sins.
Yep.
So lastly, let me just say this. You know, there's a reason that people in Revelation are judged, and it says according to their deeds. So why would they be judged according to their deeds if the whole world was already forgiven at the cross? Why would they be forgiven for their deeds if God remembers their, why would they be judged for their deeds if God remembers their deeds no more? So it's only believers that have received forgiveness.
Yeah, I think that's such an important point. For every person out there, you're either going to die in your sins, and that means eternal judgment of death, or you're going to die in Christ. And we died in Christ. And because we died in Christ, we receive that forgiveness. We're in him. And so that forgiveness is ours. And we can say with confidence, with assurance, that we stand before God as forgiven people. And that is such good news. I think if you say the whole world is, you know, forgiven at the cross, I think that leads to universal salvation because, you know, forgiveness is tied to Jesus. It's not a separate issue outside of Jesus. And we have to remember Jesus is everything. I mean, God sent Jesus. Jesus died. Jesus was raised again. We receive Jesus. Jesus comes to live inside of us. Everything is about Jesus and is tied to Jesus. Anything outside of Jesus is darkness, is death. And that's just the reality. And Jesus entered into this world of darkness so that we could have life. And in that life, his life, is redemption, the forgiveness of sin. So, Ambry, hope that answers your question. We sure appreciate you posting that on our Facebook page today. That was a great question. Thank you so much.
Richard, do you have thoughts on that?
I am so joyful that Jesus did one thing in a moment of time that had eternal consequences, and then when I accepted him, he let me open that present. You know, I tried to open it before I accepted him, and I could never find the present. But when I found Jesus, the present was there.
Yes.
Good stuff, guys. Absolutely wonderful stuff. Friends, we want to remind you to check out the information on our May-June 2019 visit to Israel and Jordan. Just click the banner at the top of our homepage at Basic Gospel to get all the information. Remember also that every day you can join us by clicking onto our Facebook channel, our Facebook page, or our YouTube channel, and join us inside the studio by video. We'd love for you to take full advantage of the video stream that we produce every day. Again, that's the page at Facebook and at the YouTube channel. Well, thanks to Bob and Richard and everybody for being a part of this one. We want to keep you ever mindful, friends, that Basic Gospel is listener-supported, and that need never stops. If you can help, here's how. Donate online at basicgospel.net. In Canada, basicgospel.net/Canada. You can donate by phone at 844-322-2742, through the Basic Gospel app, or through PayPal. Your gifts are vital as we take this message forward every day on Basic Gospel. And we have that wonderful gift for you, a new CD series called Law and Grace. We want to get it into your hands with your gift. Remember, if you have questions anytime, give us a call at 844-322-2742. That number is available every day and every night. 844-322-2742. Well, now for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, for Andrew Farley, and all the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be here again tomorrow as we continue in our series, The Grace Guide to Marriage. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.